All right, today we're continuing on in a series of messages on the book of James. And wow, this has been fun, hasn't it? To be in the book of James so many weeks, and we've got a couple more weeks to go. But today, we're going to hit on a topic that James introduced in chapter 1. And again, James kind of does this. He'll drop it, one of the topics, and we've seen this before. But this one is a big topic to James, and it's wisdom. And so the title of this message today is Bring Me a Higher Wisdom. And in James chapter 3, verse 13, where we left off, we're going to pick it back up today. Who is wise and understanding among you? He says you need to seek after wisdom. And the Hebrew word for wisdom is this. It's skill in living. In other words, it's different from intelligence, because there are people who are extremely smart but unwise. Okay, don't point at anybody right now, right? Just keep looking up here. So it has nothing to do with IQ or giftedness. Wisdom is what Solomon in the Old Testament, the wisest man of his day, said was supreme. He said, above everything else, get wisdom. You need it. And how many know wisdom helps everywhere? You know, it helps on the job, because sometimes you're just wondering, you know, what should I do next? Should we invest in this? Should I say this or not? And wisdom is what helps you to know whether to say it or not to say it. And that works really well in marriage, too, by the way. It helps in parenting. And so James says, who is wise and understanding among you? And then keep reading. He says, let them show it. And this is a big theme in James, too, is you need to show that you're wise. And here's how. By their good life. By deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So true wisdom is not arrogant. It's humble. And it's very non-boastful. It doesn't say, you know, I just happen to be real wise. It doesn't do that. You just allow other people to see it in you. And Christianity, by the way, when we bring this topic of wisdom in, and we want to be wise, live as wise, Paul says, don't be unwise. When we do this as a Christian, it's not that we get to be better than other people. Again, it's a humility. It's not an improved you. It's a transformed you. Gonna get a better amen today, right? We change, we transform. I know for me, I was a shy person. I didn't seek out to want to be up in front of people. But isn't it just like God to pick somebody like that? You know, that wasn't saying, oh, choose me. You know, I'm more like, you know, let me get behind somebody here. And God... The way God works is God doesn't make me better than everyone else. He just makes me better than myself, right? I'm a better me as a result. I'm not better than you. I'm just better than the me I would have been if it weren't for the help of God. So I want to invite you today just to open up. Matter of fact, maybe let's just do this. Just take your hands and open them up. And just say, Lord, open me to what you have for me. Open me to what you have for me. Because you know what? If you'll have that posture, God can change your life. I believe that. I know that. God can change your life. Look at this as we read on in verse 14. But If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, and again, he talks a lot about hearts, and we've been there. Do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven. He says there's another kind of wisdom in the world, and it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. So he says what happens is you find this other wisdom that's out there, and it's the world's wisdom. And the world's wisdom will tell you something, and then later you find out, well, that was dumb advice. You ever been there? Like the person who said, you know, I'm just not sure about him or whatever. And the person said to you, oh, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. And how many know that was disastrous? You've been divorced now how long, you know? And it didn't end well. And maybe there was abuse, and there was drug addiction, and there was alcoholism and different things involved. But they just said, follow my heart. And so I did. We've seen that kind of earthly wisdom even through the pandemic, right? I mean, people were quick to say, here's what you ought to do. And then we found out later, well, that was dumb advice. That wasn't what I should have done. And so James is saying, you got to watch out, because there's two kinds of wisdom at work in the world. And so life will teach you this. But what do you do? Well, in James chapter 1, verse 5, James, at the very beginning of his writing, introduced this topic, like I mentioned. And here's what he says you need to do. If any of you lacks wisdom, so if you're here today and you say, well, people tell me I'm not the wisest person. Well, good news. Good news. You can get some more, all right? Here's what you should do. You should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So James says, if you need a higher wisdom, if you're wondering, should I stick with him or not? Should I stick with her or not? Should I pursue this career or not? Should I, is now when we should try to have children? Is now when we should adopt? Is now when I should pursue this education? Should I choose this college or this other college? When you're wondering what to do, James says, what you ought to do is stop and pray. Stop and pray and ask God to give you higher wisdom. Not the world's wisdom, but higher wisdom that will help you to go higher in life. Isn't that good? And here's what else he says. Verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, so we're going to get back to the heavenly wisdom, is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So here's what James does. James goes ahead and defines it for us. So we don't have to wonder, well, how do I know if it's a higher wisdom or not? How do I know if it's the wisdom of the world or if it's the wisdom that comes from God? The higher wisdom. How do I know? We don't have to wonder, because James spells it out. And we're going to spend the rest of our time going through this so we can get this wisdom into our lives, and especially get it from our head to our heart. So what does he say that the higher wisdom looks like. First of all, he says it has a pure heart. It has a pure heart. He says the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. And notice that. He says first. And I think that's significant. I think he put it first because he thinks it's first. This is the first thing that people who are wise, this is what you'll find out about them. If they have higher wisdom, they're walking in holiness. They're walking in purity. Now, good news is purification doesn't mean perfection. Because how many have trouble staying perfect, right? Like all the time, right? But purification is really, and we see this, and we'll see this again in a moment, it's a desire for God. It's I want God more than I want other things. I want God in my life more than anything this world has to offer. That's the purified life that he's talking about. Titus talks about this. In Titus 1:15, Paul says, everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving because their minds and consciences are corrupted. So he says, you know, if you follow the wisdom of the world, it leads to corruption of your heart. If you follow the higher wisdom, it leads to the purification of your heart. And as you get purified, what happens is your heart gets changed. And we talked about this one of the other weeks. And so you need to go back and watch them if you miss some of these. But here's what God does, and we find this even in the Old Testament. There's language for this. I'm going to put a new heart in you. I'm going to make you new. Paul picked up on this, and he says, it's like you're a new creation. And Jesus said it this way, it's like you're born again. You're born differently. You're born of the Spirit. And now, all of a sudden, can I get a witness here today? How many of you now desire things of God that you never dreamed you would desire before? There's some people here like that. Yeah, I know some people that cannot believe they've been at Crossroads this long. Because they didn't even want to go to church. They didn't care anything about going to church. And now they've been here week after week after week, month after month, year after year. What is that? That's a new heart. Come on, somebody. It's new. And now you desire the things of God more than the things of the world. Matthew, Jesus said it like this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I think sometimes when we read this, we think, oh yeah, because they're going to go to heaven. But I think he's talking about deeper than that. I think he means you'll see me now and you will see me later. So if you are a person who says, I need to see God in my life. I need to see God in my life. You need to seek the higher wisdom that changes your heart, causes you to desire the things of God, changes you into being more like him, removes the contaminants. How many have purified water at home? My dad would flip out if he knew that I buy water in a bottle, right? Come on, somebody. We had it, it came in our house, you know? That should be good enough, right? But no, we want the purified. We want everything removed. And James chapter 4, verse 4 says, you adulterous people, look at what James says later. He says, don't you know that friendship with the world, and this is in comparison to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago when we talked about being the friend of God. How many remember that? Yeah. and how Abraham was the friend of God, and we need to do the same thing, try to become the friend of God. He says that adulterous people, friendship with the world means enmity against God. Therefore, anyone that chooses to be, now notice this, the difference between being a friend of God, or he says, if you choose, I'm going to be a friend of the world, now you're an enemy of God. Maybe that's why you don't see God working in your life. So here's the question. How much of the world am I going to allow into my life? That's what you need to ask. How much am I going to allow into my life? And here's a helper. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is coming. He's going to live in you, and he'll help you to know what ought to be in your life and what ought not to be in your life. But he doesn't just, and we talked about this before, he doesn't just identify it, he helps eliminate it. That's good news. Because I need some help eliminating things. How about you? Yes. To get rid of stuff. And I heard about two young teenage kids, they were just young, and getting about to turn teens. And they said, oh, Mom, we want to see this movie. Can we watch this movie? And she says, no, I've heard about that movie, and it's got some stuff in it that you boys don't need to see and don't need to hear. And they said, oh, Mom, we know about it, too, and we know that's in there, but it's short. It's just real short, and it's not a big deal. And so the movie's great, except for that little part there. But so if we could just watch this, and she said, no, you don't need to be watching that movie. She says, just go in there into the living room. You watch something else right now, and I'll be in there in a minute. And so they went in there. They were sulking. They were disappointed. They weren't going to get to see this movie. And then they started smelling something. And it was Mom baking brownies. And so her son thought, oh, she's softening up. She's getting ready to, you know, she's seen the error of her ways. And now she's going to come in here with brownies and let us watch the movie. And so he's telling his friend, hey, get ready. We're going to be able to watch this movie. My mom's moving in the right direction here. And so in a little bit, sure enough, here she comes in with a plate of brownies. And she says, hey, I baked these for you boys. But before you eat them, I want to let you know that I put a different, unusual ingredient in these, not typical of what I normally do. And they're like, well, tell us, Mom, because we're ready. Ready to chow down. She says, well, I went in the backyard and scooped a little bit of the dog's poop and put it in the brownies, but just a little bit. Just a little bit. So it shouldn't bother you, right? Because it's just a little bit. How many know that just a little bit goes a long way on certain things, right? James 4:8 says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. I pray he does that in your life today, but keep on reading. So here's what you need to do. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Again, what are you allowing? What are you allowing into your life? And here's the second thing that he says this higher wisdom does. It loves peace. He says it's peace-loving. The wisdom that comes from above is peace-loving. Now, we live in a culture where we just kind of argue about anything and everything, it seems like, that it's all argumentative. I remember when the news, some of you aren't old enough, but that I remember when the news was just reporting the news. That's what it was. It wasn't arguing about the news. It wasn't putting people up to say what they thought and whatever. Well, I think what it really was and what it, no, it wasn't. You know, it was this, and it's just argumentative. And then you've got social media. It's like a contrarian culture. And here's what James says. You're not wise if you love to argue. That's not wise. James chapter 1, verse 20. Human anger, we looked at this earlier, does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Proverbs 14, 29 says, a wise man takes control of his temper. He knows that anger causes mistakes. How many have said things in anger you wish you could take back? Proverbs 20, verse 3, it's a mark of good character to avert quarrels. Not just to, you know, try to win the argument. Don't even get in the argument. Okay, but fools love to pick fights. See, you can be right and wrong at the same time. I'll prove it to you in marriage. In marriage, you can think, I am going to win this fight. Oh, I know, I got the right stuff here. I'm going to win this argument. And you win the argument and lose the war, right? Because you just can't do that. And I don't know about you, but here's something I've realized. In every argument in my marriage, I was there. I'm like the common denominator in all of those things. And so what we've got to do is say, hey, you know, am I the common denominator in the conflict at work, the conflict at school, the conflict at home? You know, I'm always in arguments and whatever. Well, who's the common denominator? Conflict cannot continue without my participation. So, here's a word, disengage. Just disengage. Here's what else he says. It's the kind of wisdom that is considerate. So it considers it. It considers what's going on. That, in other words, it's like someone said, they make an attempt to understand before being understood. Say, I want to understand you. James chapter 3, verse 13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Right there, we read it earlier. James puts the two together, wisdom and understanding. You can't separate them. They go together. And so he says, if you're going to be wise, you got to have this understanding. Romans chapter 15 says this, we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not, here's a word for somebody, not just please ourselves. In a selfie culture, we should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. He says, what we've got to do is we've got to make sure that we're listening to other people. It's not, well, I'm going to prove how right I am. No, listen to this person. How many of you have ever listened to a person and then you're like, oh, now I know why they're like they are. I didn't know that about their childhood. Hello, somebody? I didn't know that about how their relationships have been. I didn't know where they were reared. I didn't know that about their life. I didn't know about those past years that they spent in addiction. That explains it. Now you understand them better. Hello? Now you understand them better. And it's getting to know someone. John Maxwell said, give your thoughts a break, because you already think them. All right? So what's that other person think? What are they trying to tell you? And here's the fourth thing. He says that the wisdom that comes from God is willing to yield. He says that the wisdom that comes from on high, it's submissive is the word he used. Now, this can be difficult for certain people because it sounds weak. And so sometimes we think, well, I'm the boss, or I'm this, or I'm that. And so I got to watch that. I got to be strong. Well, look at what Proverbs 12 says, verse 15. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Which one do you want to be? Which one do you want to be? Fools just think their own way is right. I was reading, and I read this story about Abraham Lincoln. And due to pressure from some other people, earthly wisdom, they told him he ought to move the troops and do this deployment. And so he gave the order. And the order went out into the field and reached the people. And Stanton, who was the Secretary of War, says, he's a fool. He's calling Abraham Lincoln a fool. Well, word got back to Abraham Lincoln that his Secretary of War said that about him. And here's what Abraham Lincoln said. If Stanton said I'm a fool, then I must be. For he is nearly always right. So I have to see for myself. And you know what he did? He got with Stanton, talked to him, and said, yeah, that order I gave, don't do that. Do what he says. Now, wouldn't it be awesome in politics today if we could get back to that, to where we could say, you know, in debates and whatever, and when people are and we say, hold on, I think you have a point. How many know everybody drop over, right? I mean, it'd be a moment, wouldn't it? If somebody said something like that. And here's what I want to say, church. It may not happen in Washington, D.C., but it can happen here in Hendricks County. We can decide we will live like this. We're going to be like this wherever we go. So ask yourself, am I reasonable? Am I reasonable? Do I see every side? Can I be reasoned with? And here's the next one. He says that the wisdom that comes from heaven minimizes the mistakes of others. It minimizes the mistakes of others. In verse 17, he says it like this. It's full of mercy and good fruit. And I'll just tell you, this is my own interpretation of how I do this and try to do this. And I don't always get it done because I don't always take this step. But what helps me more than anything else in dealing with people is if I pre-decide how I'm going to be. If I already pre-decide something, you know, if I say, well, I'm going to do it this way, or I'm going to make sure this conversation goes like this, and I predetermine, I pre-decide, then it carries much more mercy and good fruit into it as a result. James chapter 2, verse 12 says it this way, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. So we've got to be people full of mercy. I'd rather stand before God having loved too much than to have judged too harshly. Right? So here's what you can do. Just a quick exercise. Do this maybe today. or sometime this week, just write down all the faults and all the things that wear you out about that person and all the things that irritate you and everything. All those things, just make a list, you know, and write those all down and then burn it. And did you know psychologists say it'll help you mentally if you do that? There's just something powerful about letting it go. In other words, don't rub it in, rub it out. What do I need to stop bringing up? What is it for you? You need to let it go. And here's the next thing he says. He says it's authentic. The wisdom that comes from above is authentic. It's impartial and sincere. And it carries with it the word hypocrite. And the word hypocrite in the Greek goes directly to Greek actors who would put on masks. And they'd be different characters. So the same actor, in other words, in a play, in a Greek play, they could be two different people in the play, but they just put a different mask on. And what it is they were, in essence, being a hypocrite is how the word was. Well, in the world says, in the world wisdom, hey, every once in a while, you gotta wear a mask. Every once in a while, you gotta wear a mask. And I wanna say to somebody today, no, you need to live in a world where you take off your mask. And that's the reason why we have life groups. Because life groups, hey, you can get around, and I know it may not happen on week one, you know, where you come in and share a bunch of stuff or whatever, but after you get to know some people and you do life with them and you spend some time with them and they tell you a little bit of their stuff and you decide tonight's gonna be the night when I tell a little bit of mine. And then the next thing you know, you're telling a little bit more. And all of a sudden, within a few weeks maybe, the mask has come off and you're able to be real with other people. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound refreshing? A place where you can just be yourself. So what am I hiding? Ask yourself, what am I hiding? What mask did I come into church with today that maybe I need to take off? I don't need to just switch masks. I need to take it off. And here's the last one. He says, true wisdom that comes from heaven, here's what it does. It sows peace. Look at this in the 18th verse. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Okay? So it carries with it, just like Jesus, James' brother, told a story about scattering seed and how the sower went out and sowed the seed and then it produced harvest of different types. And likewise, James here is alluding to people of higher wisdom. Here's what they do. You'll notice them at work. You'll notice them at school. You'll notice them in your family or whatever. They're sowing peace. Other people come in, hey, did you see what happened on CNN? Did you hear what they said on that talk show? Did you hear it? You know, and get it going. You know how to get it going, right? And you say, oh, you know, I don't even watch that anymore. I'm just praying, and I just know it's a sign that we need God. That's what they do. They're unusual. In a world of animosity and violent behavior, James says these people stand out. They stand out at work, they stand out at school, they stand out wherever they're at, because here's what they're doing. They're just sowing peace, sowing some more peace, and just trying to bring peace wherever they go. And I just think, what would happen in our country if just everybody who claims to be a Christian would do this? Right? I mean, what would it do to the country? I think people would say, whoa, I gotta hire some more Christians to my place of business, because man, these people, you know, their stuff gets stirred up and they put it out. They all of a sudden people are in the break room and whatever, and they come in and just kind of calm it down. I need to hire some more of these. And daughter, you need to marry one of those. We don't even believe what they believe, but you need to marry one of them, because they are different. They're wherever they go, they bring peace. How many would love to be around those kind of people, right? Now, be that kind of person, right? Be that kind of person, because I'm just going to tell you, the people of God are the only hope for America. The people who know God, live for God, have a new heart, and they do all these things that James talked about here, I mean, they're the hope. They're the hope for tomorrow. And here's my prayer. God, let us be those kinds of people. Let us be those kinds of people. Start it right here, right now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the life-transforming power of the Holy Spirit, because we need your help with this. Because especially living in a culture like we live in, we need more than just information. We need transformation. And so God, transform us today so that we can be who you've called us to be, so that we can bear fruit and scatter seed that'll bring about peace in our nation and in our neighborhoods. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Craig, I need to do a better job of this. So I'm asking God today, God, give me that wisdom. Give me that higher wisdom, that heavenly wisdom. Impart it into me today. I need it. I need it in my marriage. I need it in my heart. I need it in my home. I need it in my life. We need it in our school. And God, I need to be a carrier of this wherever I go. If that's your prayer today, would you just join me in praying right now? Just lift your hands and say, oh God, use me, use me, use me, use us, Lord, as instruments of peace in a culture that's so divisive, that is so angry. May we stand out all the more because we are so different from everyone around us. Not in an arrogant way, but in a humble way, because it's not of us. It's not because of us. It's because of you in our hearts and in our lives. So God, we need your transforming power today. Make us different because of your Spirit. Maybe you're here today, others of you, and maybe you walked in just like the world can do. It just fills you with shame and fills you with sin and guilt and all of those things. And maybe you've got all this stuff that you've done and things you've thought and whatever that looks like in your life. And you just came in here kind of heavy with all of that. The scripture says, if you'll give all that to God, if you'll give it to Jesus, he took all that to the cross for you. He bore your sin on the cross so that you didn't have to die for it. And you don't have to live guilty anymore. You don't have to live shameful anymore. I want to give you an opportunity today to say yes to Jesus and watch him change you from the inside out. If you desire that, here today, just raise a hand and say, yeah, that's me. That's me. I need God in my life. I need Jesus in my life. I need a new life. I need new life today. Father, for those who raised a hand, those online that typed decided in the chat, God, I pray for them that they will have boldness to be what you want them to be. I pray, God, that they will just give their life to you right now in this moment in Jesus' name. Now, come on, pray this prayer with me if you raised a hand and need to commit your life to Jesus. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on that cross for me. I believe it really happened, and I believe he took all my sin so that I don't have to bear it now. And from this day forward, as much as I know how, I want to be made new. So fill me with your spirit to give me power to be different from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Church family, let's welcome those who prayed that prayer. Listen, if you made that decision for Jesus today to invite him into your life, congratulations. There are words on the screen that you can text as the next step. One of the biggest next steps is to be baptized. After you believe in your heart, the Bible talks about being baptized. Shows on the outside what you did on the inside, how Jesus washed you, cleansed you, and made you new. And so we'd love to help you with that. Matter of fact, over across the hall for those in person, just go over to the Next Steps room. It's right over there. And someone will be glad to talk to you about it and help you to be able to do that. Also today, if you filled out the connection card already, on that card, there's a box that says, my decision today, I'm committing my life to Christ. And every week, somebody does this. They decide right here in person as well as online. And so if you did that, just put it on the card. Or if you're renewing your commitment to Christ, put it on the card. And we'll be praying for you to see God continue to work in your life. Don't forget, Growth Track starts up next week. And life groups are happening. Connections are happening in the lobby. If you need to be a leader, if it's time for you to step into leadership, we want to help you to be able to do that. It'll be one of the most powerful moments of your life when you step into that. Let's stand together. Our prayer partners are going to come. If you need prayer for any reason today before you leave, please receive the prayer that you need. These folks would love to pray with you and pray for you before you leave today. Let me bless you. Father, we thank you for your word and the power of it. Help us to live it out this week and to be what you need us to be in our country and in our county and in our community. And God, through the Holy Spirit, draw every person who needs prayer down here to receive the prayer they need today and do miracles still in this house. And we believe you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.